You want a shot at playing in late October.
You got to start talking now.
He leaps in the air, makes the throw to first to complete the double play.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff is on 940 Wins.
Miami Sports.
Good to be back. December 5th, you're listening to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, brought to you by Geico. Tonight, that's where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm Kyle Seeloff with you for the first Hot Stove Show of the season, live tonight from the 940 Winds and the Marlins Radio Network studios. Happy holidays to many of you listening this evening. Hope the Thanksgiving break was good to everybody, and it's the holiday season. And you know what that means. The baseball offseason is in full swing and an ideal start for us tonight. That's because today, the first day of the winter meetings, and we've got a great show for you. In just a minute or two, we'll kick things off by chatting with Marlins President David Sampson. A very good, insightful interview, and we chatted about a lot. We went a lot of different directions, but it was good, so we'll get to that in just a minute. You know, I really wasn't sure how to start things tonight because there is so much to talk about, and for obvious reasons, it was a very, very sad end of the season here in Miami with the loss of Jose Fernandez, and I'll let that be for just a minute because David and I did chat about that at length. And again, we'll have that conversation for you in just a minute. But a lot to chat about as the Marlins prepare now for 2017. Well, what's the rotation going to look like? We now know one new piece of the puzzle. That's Edinson Volquez, who we'll hear from later. Are the Marlins ready to spend big on a closer to shore things up at the back end of the bullpen? And the Marlins now in need of a backup catcher, potentially, after Jeff Mathis signed an offseason deal in the last couple of days with the Arizona Diamondbacks. So we'll get into all of that in addition to a lot of Major League Baseball news and notes, and we'll even chat a little bit about the new collective bargaining agreement and highlight some of the points of emphasis that were decided upon. How about this, too? The National League East, my goodness, the Braves apparently ready to rock and roll as they open up a new ballpark this season up in Atlanta. And what are the Washington Nationals going to do? Is there a chance Chris Sale and Andrew McCutchen, both of them, end up in Washington by week's end? The Nationals apparently think they have the pieces in place to make that happen. We'll have an update for you there as we roll along tonight. We'll chat about that shortly. But first, and right now, I think this is a good way to open things up. Here is my conversation with Marlins President David Sampson as the Marlins prepare for the 2017 season.
Joining us, Marlins President David Sampson. David, always a terrific time of the year, always fun chatting with you, and we always appreciate the time. Before we talk offseason, before we talk 2017 Marlins, not just the ball club itself, all the events going on here at the ballpark, obviously it was a very tragic end of the season for the Marlins, and I wanted to start here simply to ask you, following the death of Jose Fernandez, how are you doing? How is the organization doing?
It really is... Still sinking in, actually. And as we go through the off season, we've gotten into the baseball side of the tragedy. And the baseball side is different than the emotional side. And we think about and speak to his family often, actually. But we know that there's games coming up starting, you know, first week in April. So, you know, losing Jose off the field was devastating. Losing him on the field is very difficult. But we have games to play. But the memory of Jose and the spirit in which he played baseball and the fact that he will always be a member of the Marlins is something that is still very, very true.
How's the family holding up?
It's still been very difficult. It's only been a couple months. So it's something that will never go away. It will never get better. You just start finding ways to live with it, I guess, when you're the mom or the girlfriend. And you know, just in a couple months, he's going to be a father, and there'll be a little girl in this world, and we've been in touch with Maria, the mother of his daughter, who's going to be named Penelope, and the mother is healthy, and Penelope is healthy so far, thank God, so there'll be a piece of Jose that gets born this February.
And the players, I know you're in touch with them frequently?
The players are trying to adjust to the new reality. It's because it is a new reality for all of us. You know, as we talked about at the end of last season, there's a bond between all of us now that just didn't exist before, and it's way too heavy a price to pay for the existence of that bond. But the players all realize that there's grieving to do and then there's business to do.
I would say one thing that's incredibly hard to fathom is at some point yourself and this front office had to sit down and say, we're in the business of winning and losing. how are we going to do that after losing arguably the best pitcher in all of Major League Baseball? How hard is that? How hard was that?
It's very difficult when you have plans and you know you have an ace and you think that that is a huge way to build a team, and there's so few of them. There are teams who are winning rings without that ace. I'd rather have the ace, but we don't. And so now we have, but, you know, Wei-Yin Chen and Tom Kohler and Adam Conley are major league pitchers who can win at this level and have won at this level. And then you add Edinson Volquez, who we just recently signed to a two-year deal. He's a proven winner with a ring on his finger. So, and that was with the Royals just 2 years ago. So for us, you know, you piece it together. Donnie Mattingly is very excited about this upcoming season and wants to see the continued improvement, and even believes with the loss of Jose that this team is still poised to do well.
Before we turn the page as best we can, has there been any official plans, anything of that nature, to retire a number, a statue of Jose at Marlins Park?
I think that right after he died, I think I mentioned there's 613 decisions to be made, and we were about at number four at that point. I would say right now we're probably at number 400, so there's still a lot to decide. I think that there will certainly be more upcoming announcements about further ways that Jose will be honored, but right now there's nothing new to report.
Big upcoming season. We'll talk about the Marlins specifically here in just a minute. Boy, the All-Star Game coming to Miami, to Marlins Park here in 2017. This ballpark will be just 5 years old. How exciting will it be, and how ready are you guys?
We're going to be very ready, I promise you that. And it's a showcase for all of Miami. It's a showcase for Marlins Park, certainly. But really what it means to all of us to have a game that we were supposed to host as a city and organization back in 2000. And obviously we were unable to do that before we got here, of course, but it is what it is. And we're starting our 16th season here in Miami, and we couldn't be more excited to celebrate that with an All-Star game. We think that having the best players in the world in the world's greatest city, especially with, to me, the national pastime, if not the world's pastime, especially in Latin America, put it all together, and Miami's the perfect place for an All-Star game.
You talk about some of the world's greatest players before the All-Star game, the World Baseball Classic in March, which 100% unquestionably does have some of the best players in the world. It's a world event. I'm not too sure people realize how big of an event it is, and it's coming back to Marlins Park.
You know, you took the words right out of my mouth, Meatloaf, but before the All-Star game, we've got the World Baseball Classic, which is very, very cool. We've got the Dominican Republic, Colombia, the United States, and Canada. You're talking about four great teams with known players on each of those teams. It's like an All-Star game coming between March 9th and March 13th here at Marlins Park. And for those of you who were at the World Baseball Classic in 2013, the electricity when the Dominican played Venezuela was incredible, or when they played the United States. Right now, those tickets are on sale. We know when the games are, so check the website between March 9th and March 13th. Look at the matchups and come cheer on your country, please.
Let's chat about the Marlins a little bit. I feel like this is a question I ask you every spring or every offseason. It's very broad. How close do you and the organization feel you are to competing for a championship?
That's a funny question, Kyle. We want to be competing every year. You know, we played a meaningful game, again, getting back to Jose, the day after Jose died. That game against the Mets that no one will ever forget. We had not been eliminated from the playoff race, and that was September 26th, as you recall. We were very, very competitive, certainly for 4.5 months of the season, maybe even five. Next year, we want to be competitive for all six and make the playoffs. Once you're in the tournament, anything can happen. You need a few good bounces to happen your way to win a ring in the World Series, but you just want to make the playoffs. And it's been too long for us, so we hope next year's the year.
Read what you will, Google search what you will. Everybody says the Marlins' biggest problem heading into the season will be the starting rotation. Edinson Volquez is on board now, a proven veteran. Does he shore up some of those questions that you guys may have about that rotation?
I think he does, but the fact is, I think all 30 teams, it's great hot stove action to do columns on the internet. What holes does each team have? Yes, I think that people will look at our team and say the starting rotation may have holes. But guess what? We don't think that. We watch Tom Kohler every day and Wei-Yin Chen. I think you're going to have a bounce-back year from Wei-Yin Chen. Adam Conley's healthy, and when he's healthy, he's a top-of-the-rotation starter. Tom Kohler and Edinson Volquez give you innings, up to 200 innings, we hope, each. And when you get that, that helps save your bullpen. Our bullpen's a huge strength. Our position players are very good, but we've got to hit it right. We need no injuries because depth is always an issue, and we need performance and health, and if we get that, we're going to have 6 months of competitive baseball.
Interesting. You say depth. That's my next question. It's more of a two-part question. I remember asking you this last spring, organizational depth. I think the Marlins are in a unique position. Here's why. If you look throughout the entire roster, you're in a position to win now. Now, organizational depth, is it there? Maybe not. My question for you is, how do you acquire organizational depth without trading away core pieces?
You really can only acquire depth through the draft. International. So we've signed a bunch of people internationally. We drafted a pitcher last year who we believe Garrett is going to be a major league pitcher. But how do you know? They're all young. They're all working their way through the system. Our previous draft pick, Tyler Kolek, had Tommy John. He'll be coming back at some point this year. You just never know where that depth comes from. And each year the depth chart changes because some players have better years than they were supposed to and some have worse. So right now the only thing that we care about truly is winning at the major league level, and we think we're doing that now. We're not rebuilding. We just have never done that. We're not recalibrating. You know, we're not resetting. We've had this core of players together for quite a while, and, you know, we re-signed Prado. He was a free agent signing that no one's talking about as an off-season addition, but he's an off-season addition because he was a free agent. And when you have the addition of Volquez and Prado, you know, you match it with the loss of Jose, but Ichiro's coming back. He was a free agent. So you just put all these things together. He was actually under an option. But you put all these things together, and we think we're putting the pieces together to a team that plays well together and can win games.
A lot of talk in the news, especially this year with the collective bargaining agreement. A lot of different stuff out there. My question for you, and it's something that comes up every time a CBA comes up, is the Major League Baseball season too long?
Is the baseball season too long? I love the rhythm of the Major League Baseball season. I think that it really separates winners from losers. And if you can survive on the field for 162 days, you deserve to be in the tournament, even if you lose day one in the wild card game. I think that a few more off days would be nice. There's no question, both for the front office and for the players. I think that certain travel can be made easier. We have a lot of hours that we fly because we live in Miami. As you know, it takes us an hour just to get out of Florida every time we fly. So our travel hours are more than other teams, with the exception of, I think, Seattle. Sometimes San Francisco, depending on who their interleague teams are. But our travel this year is over 10% longer than it was last year. I think we have like 104 hours in the air this year, which is more than we've ever had. So a few more days off would be good, but I do love 162.
Couple of questions on the way out for you. It's fun to look at Major League Baseball in its entirety and talk about some of these issues. Maybe not even issues to that extent. My question for you is, as we see the game evolve, we always hear about umpires, right, and the use of technology in Major League Baseball. How would you feel about a computer dictating balls and strikes?
You're going to get me in trouble. I love the human element. I crave consistency. But it doesn't have to be the same for every umpire, but it has to be the same for me for every game for both sides. So I like the human element. I'm good with it. I think that what we've done with replay is make the game better and crisper, and we're getting more and more calls right, which is what fans want and players want at the end of the day. But I think I don't want to ever get to the point where we are in danger of AI taking over the world, and I certainly don't want to be a someone who starts that process in baseball.
Got a question for you about Ichiro. He is a fascinating human. What kind of leader is he? Not the leader that people, the quiet guy people may see play on the field each and every night, but from what you see in the clubhouse, what does he genuinely bring to this organization?
Ichiro is a stitch. He's a professional. He works harder than anybody else. He performs at a high level day in, day out. You never know if he went 0 for 1, 0 for 4, 4 for 4. You don't know if the team won or lost, because he is, simply put, the sunrise and the sunset. It is the one thing you can count on, is that he will go through his pregame routine and he'll be ready to play every day. That kind of leadership can't be taught, it can't be explained, and it rubs off on players, and we're very lucky to have him.
Last one for you. The winter meeting's kicking up here in Washington, D.C. on just the next couple of days. For young kids that might want to be a president of the baseball operations, they want to be the GM, what is the week like? Is it stressful? do people come up? Do you go with a particular plan? What's it like when you start fielding calls about particular guys you didn't even anticipate chatting about? What's the week like for those that may not know?
I guess I just want to tell people that we're not curing cancer here. So we're not saving lives, and we're not there's no killing involved. So the stress level may be self-inflicted. But the winter meetings are a festival of misinformation, a chess game of epic proportions played by 30 teams trying to outmaneuver each other. And each year it results in a team winning the winter meetings who invariably then does not perform well the following season. So we don't go in with the goal of winning the winter meetings because we've done that before and it didn't work. So we go in with the goal of helping our team in the ways that we're looking, adding a few pieces here or there, and really beginning the process of getting your front office together and making sure that everyone's on the same page organizationally for the next year to come.
David, we appreciate the time to you and your family. Happy holiday season, and we'll catch up with you during spring training.
All right, looking forward to it.
Well, a lot to take in from that conversation, and I certainly hope it was informative to those of you listening tonight. And again, I know we went a lot of different ways there, but certainly I think it was a pretty good way to kick off our annual Marlins Hot Stove show. Don't go anywhere. Coming up next, what's going on in the world of Major League Baseball as the winter meetings begun today in Maryland? We'll highlight some of the big keys surrounding the new collective bargaining agreement. And shortly, Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, will join us live from the 2016 winter meetings in Maryland right here on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins.
When baseball's out of season, we talk about it.
So in a way, baseball's never out of season.
Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seelock,
940 Wins, Miami Sports.
All right, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, brought to you by Geico. That's where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. I'm your host, Kyle Seeloff, with you up until right around 7:45 tonight. Still a lot to get to, including a conversation with Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill. We'll call him in about 9 minutes from now. Certainly the front office very, very busy up there at the winter meetings in Maryland, which kicked off this morning. But before we get to some big picture MLB news and notes, got to let you know about some of the happenings at Marlins Park and what's going on this offseason. The Marlins, a terrific Marlins holiday offer. You purchase 2017 Marlins season tickets. You receive 5,000 loyalty points to use toward behind-the-scenes Marlins experiences. And again, the only way to guarantee access to the All-Star Week events, I know we talked about this a lot during the regular season, that's to become a Fish Family season ticket holder. This holiday offer expires on December 31st. Call 1-877-MARLINS or go to marlins.com/holiday. What else? Well, the Miami Beach Bowl, that's return to the Marlins Park Monday, December 19th. Central Michigan will take on Tulsa in the third annual Battle of the Beach, the American Athletic Conference versus Conference USA for some bragging rights down here in South Florida. For more information on that and some tickets, go to marlins.com and the Miami Beach Bowl. .com. And last one for you, and myself and David Sampson talked about it. The World Baseball Classic, it's coming back to Miami. Marlins Park will host round one. That'll feature Canada, the USA, Colombia, and the Dominican Republic. The world's best players from all four of those countries will converge on March 9th through the 13th. Six-game packs to all games at Marlins Park on sale now, starting at just $10 a game. Go to marlins.com/WBC to buy your World Baseball Classic six-game packs today, and do so. Here's why. Russell Martin will be on Team Canada. Jose Quintana and Julio Teheran will participate for Colombia. All of these guys, by the way, are confirmed. For the Dominican, Adrian Beltre, Dellin Betances, Robinson Cano, Nelson Cruz, and Manny Machado. As for the U.S. of A., Chris Archer, Nolan Arenado, Adam Jones, Andrew McCutcheon, Buster Posey, and Max Scherzer. And I did see Clark Spencer of the Miami Herald tweeted out just a couple of minutes ago, well, about a half an hour ago now, that Christian Yelich has been invited, and it appears as though he will accept that offer potentially. So it'd be very cool to see Yelly playing for Team USA at Marlins Park. So there you go. Any and all information, by the way, about anything I just mentioned can be found on marlins.com. How about some MLB news and notes now? Let's get caught up to speed on what's going on throughout the league. Here is MLB insider John Morosi previewing this week's winter meetings in Maryland.
The winter meetings are upon us, and plenty of players are going to be on the move. J.P. Morosi with more of that. Some of the big names we could see move this week. Let's start with free agents and the biggest bat still available, Edwin Encarnacion.
Well, Tim, this is really interesting because, of course, the news here just breaking as the meetings get underway that Matt Holliday is now close to an agreement with the Yankees, which really does change Encarnacion's market a little bit. We've seen this now happen a couple different times. The Blue Jays, well, they got Morales. The Astros, They got Beltran. So now you're starting to wonder, where exactly is Encarnacion going to go? One team I'll mention, how about the Baltimore Orioles? If they don't bring back Trumbo, it's a spot in the same division. It's really a minus, certainly, for the Jays and maybe a plus for Baltimore. I would say as well, though, too, Encarnacion, the chances maybe of them still going back to Toronto are still there and maybe a little bit stronger with Holiday now going to the Yankees.
All right, there's obviously the three big closers on the market. I don't think they're all going to sign this week, but I would think maybe the first domino falls, right?
I think one, maybe two dominoes, Tim, I think this week with that closers market. I think if you look at the big picture, Chapman, I believe, will get the most because, of course, he doesn't have a draft pick attached to him, and we just saw him pitch so well in the playoffs down the stretch for the Cubs. And also, being left-handed usually helps. It's a good little bonus, I think, for closers and really all pitchers at this time of year. So I think Chapman gets the most. Melanson probably in there as well because, of course, no pick for him. And then Jansen. Interesting case. I think right now, if I had to guess, he's still going to go back to the Dodgers. The Giants, as we know, are still in the mix. The Marlins have been mentioned as well. And then, Tim, there's this whole other layer of the trade market now. Wade Davis's name has entered into play. And one point I want to make about the closers market in general is this. You look at a team like Boston. They have Kimbrel, okay? So they have Craig Kimbrel, an all-star closer. We've seen his name. We've seen him certainly in the playoffs before, a great closer. But now the model is two closers. So it would not surprise me at all, Tim, if we see the Red Sox jump in there and make a splash with one of these closers that's out there right now.
Well, many teams in the market for a closer take Melanson off the list. He's reached a four-year, $62 million deal this afternoon with the San Francisco Giants, leaving Chapman and Jansen, the top dogs, out there to close. There are reports out there, and per Ken Rosenthal, that rival teams believe that the Marlins may be prepared to offer Kenley Jansen a five-year, $80 million deal. That would cost the Marlins their upcoming first-round draft pick. If Jansen got that money, by the way, he'd be the highest-paid closer of all time. Elsewhere, well, actually, no. Let's chat about the National League East for a moment before we talk about the Marlins' needs and before we chat with Michael Hill. How about the Atlanta Braves thus far as they get set to open up SunTrust Field in 2017? They've traded for Jaime Garcia. That helps out the rotation. They agreed to a two-year contract with first baseman Sean Rodriguez, and they brought two veterans in, Bartolo Colon and R.A. Dickey. So three free agent signings, one trade. So two free agent signings, one trade. And the Atlanta Braves, just in the last month, have acquired three different starting pitchers. My goodness. So the Braves certainly not shying away this offseason, and apparently the Nationals aren't going to either. Per Bob Nightingale on the USA Today, the Washington Nationals believe they have the assets to acquire both Chris Sale from the White Sox and Andrew McCutchen from the Pittsburgh Pirates. If they pull that off, look out. Sale has a friendly team option in 2018, and McCutchen has a pair of team options in 18 and 2019. So we shall certainly see how that plays out. Before we talk some Marlins, a new five-year collective bargaining agreement has been reached between the owners and the player association. That's going to be a five-year deal. That deal will terminate on December 1st of 2021. I'll highlight some of the points of emphasis for you. The season length beginning in 2018, the regular season will be expanded to provide four additional off days for players. Players will continue to be credited with a full year of service for accruing 172 service days, over 187 days, up from 183 in 2016. So the season won't necessarily expand. It might cut off a little bit of spring training. How about the Major League Baseball minimum salary? That'll increase from $507,500 last season to $535,000 on the dot this year. David Sampson mentioned it when we had that interview. Travel, additional restrictions on start time of games on getaway days have been implemented so that players will arrive in their next city at an earlier time. And one of the biggest ones, I wouldn't say it necessarily impacts Marlins Park, but we'll certainly see a difference this season. Home field advantage in the World Series will be awarded to the club with the higher winning percentage in the championship season now, rather than based on the outcome of the All-Star game. So, as for the All-Star game, it's not that it won't mean anything. It just won't determine who has home field advantage in the World Series. All right, as for the Marlins, they're at their winter meetings in search of a starting pitcher, a closer perhaps, and now maybe a backup catcher after Jeff Mathis departed over the weekend and signed a deal with the Arizona Diamondbacks. We're going to talk about a lot of this with Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, just a minute or two. We're going to go to break here in just a minute. But the Marlins did sign Edinson Volquez last week, 33 years old. He debuted on August 30th, 2005, and he's coming off a 2016 season with the Kansas City Royals, 34 starts, 189 and a third innings, and he had a 5.37 ERA. However, 2015, the Kansas City Royals World Championship season, Volquez 13-9, a 3.55 ERA, 200 and a third innings. He appeared in 34 games. He had 33 starts, so he is a workhorse. He is a Tom Kohler of sorts, you could certainly say, and the Marlins certainly happy to have Volquez in a Marlins uniform, and Volquez is happy as well. All right, time for a quick break, but don't go anywhere because when we come back, Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, joins us live from the winter meetings right here on your home for Marlins Baseball, 940 Wins.
This is where the Marlins play.
It is up and away, a long home run.
940 Wins, Miami Sports, home of the Marlins.
All right, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show. Tonight brought to you by Geico. That's where 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. We've heard from Marlins President David Sampson. Tonight we've got about 10 minutes here, and joining us graciously over the phone from the 2017 winter meetings, that's Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill. Michael, first and foremost, happy holidays to you and the family. I'd like to ask you about the winter meetings, because when we chatted with David Sampson, he said the winter meetings are a chess game of epic proportion. Is that an accurate assessment?
A chess game of epic proportions. I don't know if we call it chess, but I'm not sure what game you would call it. But it's a great opportunity to be with your counterparts to celebrate the industry and for hopefully to find ways to improve your ball club.
So we always we follow the news closely. We follow Twitter. We watch MLB Network all day long. But can you take us? Can you put us in your shoes for this week? What are the winter meetings like from the perspective of a president of baseball operations?
I think it's a nonstop evaluation of options. I think that's probably the fairest way to try to capture what goes on here. You have all of your baseball people, all of your decision makers. Similarly, the 20 and your 29 competitors have the same. We're all held up in our rooms, and we're evaluating every opportunity imaginable to improve your ball club, either via trade, via free agency. You're looking at every way to make your club better.
Well, I think you mentioned it. You exploit a lot of different avenues. How important is it to go into the offseason and, in particular, the winter meetings with an open mind?
Kyle, I think that's probably paramount to getting something done. I don't think you can ever be closed-minded to anything if it's going to make you better. And I think that's the goal. That's definitely our goal, is to find a way to improve on our 2016 season and ultimately get us back to the playoffs and a championship to South Florida.
Well, Mike, I started my conversation earlier with David Sampson, and obviously there were some tough things to talk about in regards to Jose Fernandez and a tragic loss and to an end to the season. If I may I ask you, how are you doing and how have you handled this, and how hard was it to try to get back in a baseball frame of mind in terms of wins and losses and move on, so to speak?
A very, very difficult time, just dealing with all of it. But I think we've you know, come to grips that he, you know, is no longer with us, but will always be with us in memory and in spirit. And I think that's what you move forward with. And I think from our standpoint, you know, it's a challenge, but I think in paying honor and respect to his memory, we do everything in our power to put a winning team on the field. I think that is what he would have wanted, and that will continue to be our goal.
Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, joining us from the winter meetings in Maryland tonight. Let's chat about these Marlins a little bit in the upcoming season. It would be wrong of me if I didn't ask you about some of the reports that are out there today in regards to your interest in a closer, in particular Kenley Jansen. There were reports out there that you guys might be prepared to offer him $80 million for 5 years. Not those numbers in particular, Mike, but a need for a closer. Is it there for you guys?
I think more so than the need for a closer is just a need to add depth. And I think that is what we are exploring. And as you do in these meetings, you explore numerous ways to make that happen. You know, obviously we'd love to add to our starter depth, but if we don't have the ability to do that, we're looking at ways to shorten the game. And by doing that, you add to your bullpen and add to an already formidable bullpen with A.J. Ramos and Kyle Bearclaw and David Phelps. And I think that the names that you hear being thrown around, you know, are quality pieces that any club would love to add.
Well, speaking of the starting rotation, you guys have already made one move. You've acquired Edinson Volquez in an off-season move here in free agency. Certainly not his best of seasons last year, a 5.37 ERA, 10 wins, 11 losses. But in 2015, that historic championship run for the Kansas City Royals, he posted a 3.55 ERA. He has some familiarity with some of the from some of your staff from his days in Pittsburgh. How much are you guys hoping he can get back to that 2015 form, and what does he bring to this rotation in Miami?
You're talking about a world champion and an all-star, a former all-star, and we think he is a perfect candidate to have a bounce-back year and have a year more that looks like 2015 than 2016 looked for him. That ERA can be a little deceiving. He did have one big blow-up outing that really raised his ERA, but in total, I think you have a veteran, experienced pitcher with a three-pitch mix that I think can pitch very well in Marlins Park. He has pitched very well historically in Marlins Park, someone familiar with the National League and someone that we were very excited to add to our rotation.
As you continue to look to add to that rotation, Mike, there's certainly some guys still out there on the free agent market. Do you feel you guys are more prepared to acquire a starting pitcher through a trade at this point or through free agency? And could we see that this week?
I don't know if it would be either way. I think we're looking at both. I think the biggest thing that we look at when making a trade is just our inventory and the fact that we've made a lot of trades and we've depleted our talent pool over the past few years with some of the deals that we've made. That's something that we are mindful of as we look at potential trades and something that you don't have to deal with when you're talking about adding something in free agency.
Well, I think you guys are in a tough spot here in regards to organizational depth, and I asked this to David Sampson. I said, David, how hard is it to stay competitive while trying to rebuild a minor league system? I know you guys have said many of times you're not willing or not ready, per se, to trade core pieces. How difficult is that, and do you guys foresee yourselves building an organization, a minor league system, simply through the draft at this point? It's very, very hard to stay competitive without getting rid of some of those core pieces.
No question. It's very difficult without, parting with your inventory, and I think that is what we are assessing. And ultimately, it's a. I guess that's where David's chess game may come in a little bit, mm-hmm. where you really just have to evaluate the risk versus the reward, and obviously you draft players with the thought that they're either going to play for you or they're going to allow you to add something to help your major league team win, and I think that is what we try to measure with every scenario. What is the reward that we get out of, following through on something versus the risk in doing so.
Mike, we know you're a busy man. We know the winter meetings have kicked off up there in Maryland. We're going to let you go. It was a ton of fun. Best of luck up there this week. We're certainly going to be keeping track of the Marlins as the week progresses. Again, happy holiday to you and the family, and thanks so much for the time tonight.
Oh, thank you, Kyle, and happy holidays to you guys as well.
That was Marlins President of Baseball Operations, Michael Hill, with us on the Marlins Hot Stove Show this evening. That's going to do it for week one. Back next week, and certainly a lot of Marlins baseball talk. For Mike Lukomiak, our producer tonight, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next Monday at 7 o'clock right here on 940 Wins, your home for Marlins baseball.